Well, this morning, I have asked Stormy Tuffield to come and preach this, and to give you a little background of who he is and why he's here. But he's been a friend of ours for 3 years, something like that.
Yeah.
But he lives up in Jefferson City, attending church in Helena at the moment. But over the last couple of years, the Lord has been laying on he and his wife's heart to go and church plant. To start a church where it's needed in Montana. Fortunately, and the Lord knew, but sickness has entered his house, so his family is not here with him, but he has two beautiful daughters as well, three beautiful daughters as well. I've only met two of them. One is an adult already. What's really cool, and bad news, good news, last year in Boulder, Bible Church closed down, shut its doors, disbanded. Nobody's been meeting in that building for almost a year. And so we grieved over that. And that witness is now just is not there. But the Lord had already been stirring in their hearts. And they thought they were going somewhere else. His wife, Nicole, is from Boulder. And so when this opportunity arose, the Lord just put this flame in their hearts for Boulder. And they are going to be starting a work in Boulder. And that's our neighboring community. It's a sister church, and we need to be there for them, and we need to be praying for them. We need to be helping them in any way we can, and so I thought the best way to do it first, let's get introduced. Amen. So we're going to have Stormy come on up. He's a chaplain with the Army National Guard. He's an insurance guy, and now he's going to be a pastor. So if you couldn't see behind him, it's because all the hats he wears. But we're going to just welcome him, and I just praise the Lord that you could be here with us this morning. After he's done preaching, I've asked him to come, stay up here. I'm going to ask the elders to come on up, and we're going to be praying over them and their work that the Lord has called them to do. Amen. So, Stormy.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is always a gift when I get to share the Word of God with the people of God. So again, thank you, Josh and Danielle. They've been sweet friends of ours. My wife loves Danielle, and anytime they can get together, it's a treat for her. Our kids love their kids, and it's just that friendship's been so sweet. And so when Josh invited me to come down here, it was an immediate yes, and it's just such a privilege. So thank you, brother, and thank you for the elders here. As Josh said, my name is Stormy Tuffield. I am a chaplain for the Montana Army National Guard. If you guys have seen any of the helicopters that fly around between Helena and here, those are all my guys, so I'm sorry if they've scared your cattle or your chickens. We hear about it, and we're sorry. But it's truly a privilege to be able to minister there. It's difficult work, but man, the Lord is so sweet in what he does with that group. Yeah, and I'm a transplant here to Montana. My wife, born and raised. I've had two kids, so I can claim Montana. I feel it's been almost 15 years, and really, what has been placed on our heart for the community that we've been called to is just what Josh was saying. We saw a gospel light there go out, and I felt as though the Lord just kind of put on my wife and I and our family. There are still my children there. Whose sins I've paid for that don't know it yet. And so it's a privilege to be able to serve in that way and go to that community with the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. So it's a privilege to be able to be here. And again, just in Montana in general, as we're looking at where the Lord was calling our family, and Nicole and I were wrestling with where to go, Montana is a fairly unreached area. Every three people you meet, only one of them would profess faith in a tradition, in a religion. And then of that one third, very few of them actually attend anywhere. So, friends, unfortunately, this is a state that needs more gospel light, not less. And so my prayer today is that as we leaving the Easter weekend, recognizing the resurrection of Christ and what that means, being that death is defeated, and we're talking about that again here in a little bit, but just what that means for the people around us, that they need to know death has been defeated. And God has called us to be the feet of the message that goes to those people. So with that, Last week, you guys were looking at Isaiah 25, a wonderful passage for Easter. Thank you, brother. And toward the end of that message last week, we should be excited about life. Pastor Josh shared, we should be excited that because death is defeated, we look at life totally different. And we should be excited. But that's a logical response for the people of God when we recognize and we reflect on the fact that death is defeated. And so I want us to look at another logical response when we consider death has been defeated, is that there are people that don't know that yet and need to know that. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your copy of God's Word to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that may be very familiar to you guys, but again, it is one of those things. If you've been walking with the Lord for some time, you've probably heard a sermon on the Great Commission. But friends, it's right for us to be reminded, after we come off the heels of celebrating the resurrected Savior, that we are reminded that part of the worship of our resurrected Savior is the fact that we still have a call to go to the nations to make disciples for Jesus Christ. So when we look at Matthew 28, we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 20. Scripture says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and these are your people. And Father, we need to hear from you today. Lord, I ask that as I speak, your Holy Spirit speaks through me to all of us and reminds us of the commission you've called us to. And not something that we do in our own strength, Lord, but we do in the authority, Father, that you have. So, Father, I do ask again that this morning we be reminded of the harvest field, reminded of your calling to us, and, Father, the great privilege that it is for us to participate, to carry the good news to your people. So, Father, again, I just ask that we'd be reminded of that and that our hearts would be stirred to respond to what you're calling us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, of course, as we reflect on where we're coming from, last week was Easter, where we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's right for us to reflect on that every year and recognize that there was a time where Christ was in the tomb, where his body did not have life. And 3 days later, he and his power took it up again. And in his resurrection, he conquered death and the grave and conquered sin and gave us freedom. And gave us freedom now and gave us a hope for the future. And so it's right that we celebrate that. And it's right that we come together and we worship the Savior that did that for us. And then it's right for us to see, after Jesus raised and he shows himself to his disciples, he's now going to, we're going to see the summary of this ministry in the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to see what he commands his people to then do with all of the truth that they've now understood. So, for those of you who take notes, I saw the bulletin was blank, and for some people that may have been a little nerve-wracking, okay? And I respect that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take these four verses and we're going to break them down into four separate sections. The first, we're going to look at the setting, which is verses 16 and 17. Then we're going to look at the authority, which is verse 18. The commission in verses 19 and 20. Then we're going to summarize it with the promise. So we see in verse 16, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain in which Jesus had directed them." Now remember, these disciples had just seen the resurrected Savior. And some commentaries say that more would have been there, but I think that when we see in the text the 11 came, we want to focus on what the 11 are doing. And what we see here is two things. Some worshipped and some doubted. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at some doubted. Because when I read that, the first thing I think is, well, how could you possibly doubt the fact that you're seeing the resurrected Savior? I mean, you saw him die and now you're seeing him live. How could you doubt that? And I think that there's a proper understanding where some just hesitated to believe. It's not necessarily that they doubted that what they were seeing. man, they just hesitated to believe what they were seeing. Because friends, let's think about it. They're thinking to themselves, is this truly the man I saw? Whipped and beaten, a crown of thorns placed on his head, condemned to die by a crowd who wanted his blood on them and their children, nails driven through the bones in his wrist and through the metatarsals in his feet, who died and had a spear plunged into his side. Is this the man who was laid in the tomb with a stone and seals on the stone and soldiers outside the tomb? Can this be the actual man that I saw died, rose again? Friends, we live in 2025. We watch videos on YouTube or whatever screen you're watching. We're like, man, I don't even know if that happened. And these are Jesus' disciples saying, I saw a spear in his side. I saw nails in his hands and his feet. This man died in front of me and I witnessed it. How can he possibly be alive? So when we're reading this and we see that some doubted, friends, it might be easier for us to recognize that we have wrestled with some doubts as well. How many of you have wrestled with the fact that there is a resurrection of the dead? It is right for us as believers to wrestle with these truths that we see in the scriptures. And we also see that some worshiped. And friends, that's just the right response. When we think about Christ crucified for our sin, and we think about the neediness of us in our sinful and dead state, we recognize that we need a Savior to come redeem us, to come save us from the death that awaits us, and bring us back to new life. And when we see that that's Jesus Christ, our response is worship. Our response should be like we read last week in Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Plans formed from old, faithful and sure. So friends, we can see this is the setting that Jesus is going to come to where his disciples, some doubting, and rightfully so, just the idea of the resurrection. And some are worshiping the right response that we should all have when we think of who Christ is. We should think of who Christ is, and that should cause us to glorify him and worship him as a Savior. Now, we're going to get the second part, right? And this is the authority in verse 18. And Jesus came to them and said, some authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. None of y'all question? Okay, maybe the Greek's a little off in my translation. Most authority has been given to me. I'm getting closer though, right? Almost all authority has been given to me. Friends, what does that word say? All authority. And friends, the Greek there is the word pos, and guess what it means? All. There is no secret there. All authority has been given to him. Yes. Now we have to consider, we understand Jesus is God. He always has been God. But we have to wrestle with the fact that what does it mean that he was given more, that he was given all authority? What does that mean? Well, I think we can see that what's happening here in the prophecy given in Daniel 7. In Daniel 7, verse 13, we read this. And I saw in the visions, in the night visions, and behold, the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. So friends, when Christ came and was incarnate, there was part of him, part that was that he relinquished to take on human form. And that all needs to be fleshed out, and I'm going to let Pastor Josh do that sometime. But all that, we need to understand that Christ was fully God and fully man, and in that there was something that he was doing. He was allowing himself to function and be as a man, to live like us, so that he is acquainted with our griefs. But we see here after his resurrection, all authority has been given to him. Hebrews 1 says Christ is the heir. 1 Peter 3:22 says angels, authorities, and powers have been made subject to him in his resurrection. So again, when we see all authority, friends, there is not an authority that you can see around you that is not derived from his authority. This means all authority. Christ is the absolute authority over the entire universe. As Abraham Kuyper has famously been quoted, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, whom is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." Everything you see is His. There is no authority outside of Christ. All authority on earth is derived and delegated authority. You may say, well, we created some of our own. Well, we see this in John 19:11, where Jesus tells Pilate, you would have no authority if my Father hadn't given it to you. All authority belongs to Christ. So, now that we recognize that we're seeing the resurrected Savior, all authority has been given to Him, what does He say? The commission in verses 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Again, this is go and make disciples. Friends, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who believes in Christ and is being nurtured to maturity. That is what discipleship is. All nations, pas ethne, that's all people groups. There's not a people group out there that Jesus isn't saying, I'm calling you to go to them and bring the gospel to them, the light that we were singing about this morning. Baptizing them in the Trinitarian baptism of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And we see in John 14:25, that's where Jesus says, if you love me, you demonstrate that in your obedience to my commandments. So friends, how is a disciple made? I've read it somewhere that we believe our calling in the Holy Spirit is to intentionally train and teach a believer to maturity. These relationships foster obedience to Jesus' commandments, growth in faith in God, and love for one another. This statement says, we desire faithful disciples of Christ who are equipped to go forth and do likewise. That sound familiar to anybody? Friends, that's what your church has on your website demonstrating what discipleship is. And it's a beautiful definition of it. I love that definition of it. Fosters obedience to the commandments of Christ, growth in faith in God, but most importantly, love for one another. Friends, that's how the world is going to know. The world is going to know that you are different than they are because you love one another. So friends, you are teaching them to believe. You baptize them. You teach them. And then you go and repeat that again and again and again to a lost and dying world who needs to hear the hope of Jesus Christ. So just as we see that one section where Jesus is giving that commission, friends, I have a question for you. Who are you discipling right now? Young men, are you seeking to be discipled by older men in the faith? Older men in the faith, are you seeking out younger men to disciple them? Husbands, are you discipling your wives? Husbands and wives, are you discipling your children? And again, that's intentional, intentionally training them. And this isn't a challenge, it's something we all have to face. We all have to wrestle with this. This is a command given by God. And how would you tell? You're like, oh yeah, I'm discipling someone. I'm meeting with them every week. Okay. What's the fruit of that? Are you seeing maturity rot in their life? Are you seeing the Holy Spirit moving, or are you just getting really good at reading awesome books and memorizing Scripture? Again, friends, this isn't a challenge. It's something that I have to deal with. The guys that I'm discipling with, I have to ask myself the same question. I had to ask this question as I'm preparing for this message. How am I seeing motion in the life of these people getting closer to Christ because they're meeting with me? Am I doing that? Am I praying for them to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifest in their life more and more every day? The proof of discipleship and the growth of discipleship is this, that you would have love for one another. John 13:15. So now we move on to the second part of verse 20. The promise. Christ says to us in this part of the passage, it says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Christ says to us, I have all authority. Functioning within my authority, I command you to go to the nations and tell them about me. the resurrection or the resurrected Savior for all and have them place their faith in me. Baptize them in my name. Teach them to obey my commandments. And friends, I'm sure that you're probably a lot better at some of this than I am. But I know that when I hear that, like I've heard this message a dozen times at least. And I'll tell you this, man, I'll yes and amen it until I walk out that door. Yes and amen until you walk out the door. It's harder to do this than you would think. I make all manner of excuses. Tell me, I mean, I'm just going to be transparent. I feel like I can be safe with this group, right? I'm just going to be transparent. These are some of the excuses I would make. Look at the vastness of all the people of the earth. There's 8 billion human beings on the earth. If your full-time job was just counting numbers 8 hours a day, it would take you at least 260 years of counting every single day to get to 8 billion. It's hard for us to even fathom the number 8 billion. And yet that's what Jesus says, go to all people groups. There's 8 billion of them? Yeah, go get them. That's what we're going to. Well, Jesus, that's way too much. That's way too many people. I'm just dropping a bucket. What am I supposed to do with that, right? Or look at the sin. Good grief, look around us. Look at all the sin out there. It's all horrible and nasty, wicked. You want me to wade into that? Let alone the sin in my own life? Can't say amen, y'all. Say ouch, somebody. That's just the reality. There's so many people. There's so much sin, my sin included. How am I supposed to do anything with that? Look at the competition for their attention. Goofball Kid makes a YouTube video playing a video game. He's going to have 8 billion followers. You say something about Jesus Christ, they're going to make fun of you. That goes to my next excuse, not to mention the fact they don't want to hear it. They don't want to be convicted of their sin. The foolishness that is the cross to those that are perishing. You want me to go in front of them and tell them a message that they're going to reject? Friends, that's 4 excuses I just thought of when I was sitting here. The reality is there's so many reasons why we shouldn't be doing the very thing God commands us to do post-resurrection. I've raised from the dead. Now I want you to participate in sharing the light of the gospel with all the lost people of the world. And we want to come up with excuses. I do anyways. And that's where Jesus looks at us. And he says, my son, my daughter, I have more children out there whose sins are paid for and they don't know it yet. Recognize my authority. Recognize my command, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, if Emmanuel, God with us, doesn't give you the confidence and the assurance you need to go out there and witness to everybody, friends, read it again. Just go back through it. Pray that the Lord would reveal this to you. What do we possibly have to lose? But we can acknowledge that with our minds. We can believe it and even say, you know what? That's exactly what the Word says, and I believe every word of this Word. Amen. But are we going to act on it? And friends, that's the challenge I have for us. There's so much work to be done. There's so much work to be done. Just looking at people and trying to understand lostness and trying to understand what's going on around us and just driving from Jefferson City this morning down here to Twin Bridges and just thinking about how many people I'm driving past that are going to the lake, that are going fishing, that are going and doing all these things. Wonderful things. I'm not knocking any of that. But they don't know Jesus. And if today is the day where their life ends, they're going to hell. And there is a remedy that is Christ Jesus, that in the death that we all live in from our sin, Christ took the payment we owe, the debt that we owe, put it on himself, was nailed to a tree, crucified and died for us, rose again 3 days later, conquering the grave, and said, believe in me, and your sins will be washed away. Friends, if that moment, if that truth doesn't motivate you to go share the gospel, friends, again, I'm just going to be praying that it will. I'm going to be praying that this week you're confronted with that reality more and you are uniquely aware of the lostness of the people around you. and the fact that right now you have all the hope that these people need in your minds and in your hearts, and the Spirit that raised him from the dead is alive in you. And friends, you can go out and see the Lord use you, being obedient to what he's commanded you to do, and the Spirit quickens someone to life, and you snatched him from hell. And friends, what a privilege it is. God could snap his fingers right now and save everybody. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But at the end of the day, God in his providence, his wisdom said, I'm going to choose you. I could do this myself. I don't need you. You stay silent, the rocks will cry out. But I'm going to invite you to participate, and I'm going to let you be the ones to tell people about me. Friends, that's a privilege. That is a privilege. So in conclusion, as we read through this, to the believers in the room, friends, I pray that this message lands with you and excites you, and that you are driven to go out and see the lost people that you're going to see this afternoon. You'll see it tomorrow at work. You'll see them wherever. You're going to see them, and you're going to have a desire to share with them the hope that's found in a resurrected Savior. And friends, then we can come together and we can glorify the Lord who's moving powerfully in our midst. And maybe you're the believer here who's never witnessed or never shared the gospel to somebody. You've been believing in the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years, and you can't remember one time that you've legitimately shared the gospel with somebody. Friends, today's the day. This week is the week. Whoever that person is who the Lord's laid on your heart, whoever that person is you know needs hope, whoever that person is that you know you are going to see today or tomorrow, friends, my prayer and my encouragement is go and do that. But I'm scared. Yes, absolutely. But the God of the universe is with you. Maybe you're the believer here who has shared the gospel. Maybe you're a believer here who hasn't discipled anyone before. You don't know where to start. You don't know where to begin. Just do it. Friends, it'll be weird. I promise. But it's awesome what the Lord does in those relationships. The ways that you can see people cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, the way you see them called into doing life in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord, and they come and they say, I just witnessed to someone for the first time and led them to the Lord, now what? And then you get to say, I don't know, I'm going to have to figure that out too, right? That's okay. Friends, it's a glorious thing to watch the Lord work in these relationships. So again, if you're a believer here and you haven't shared the gospel, you haven't discipled, friends, this week is the week. Find that person. I pray the Lord is showing you who that person is in your mind right now that needs to hear the gospel and be made a disciple of Christ. And then maybe you're in here and you're like, great, I just heard an entire sermon about going and doing a thing that applies nothing to me because I don't believe any of this. I don't actually believe in any of this. Friends, and what you've just heard was what the God of the universe is calling all of us to do on your behalf. We have been called and equipped to send us to you, to preach the word of hope to you, to see you brought to life from death through Christ. It's almost like Christ tells us right now, tell my wandering sons and daughters that they will have that they have a broken relationship with me. But in my abundant mercy and love for them, I sent my son to die on their behalf, and that their sins were placed on him, and he has paid it all. He rose from the dead and now offers new and eternal life for his glory and for your good. Friends, if you're here today and you're not saved, I urge you with all the strength I can possibly muster this morning, let today be the day of your salvation. Friends, God uniquely placed you here this morning to hear this message. So friends, don't not respond to it. If you're here and you don't know if you're saved, don't let today go by without being assured of your relationship with God through Christ Jesus and faith. Friends, again, this isn't some magic incantation you have to do. The Bible says, believe, confess with your mouth that Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that he was risen from the dead and you will be saved. Friends, today is the day if you're here and you have not done that. So with that, I'll invite you guys to join me in prayer, and we'll close and pray that the gospel goes forward today through the people of God here. Heavenly Father, these are your people. And Father, they are the ones who your son, the faces here are the ones that your son understood he was dying for. Father, there's not a sin that's been committed by anyone in this room that you are unaware of. And yet, through the death of your son, you tell your people, I have paid that price. I've paid that price. And so, Father, I ask that you would allow that love and that joy and that moment of realization to be rekindled with everyone in this room. That, Father, today, your sons and daughters here would be reminded of the work that you have done on their behalf. And they would be driven, like your word says, to worship you. And that, Father, a part of that worship would be obedience and knowing, Lord, that you have called us to such a great commission. Father, it's a privilege that we get to share your gospel with the lost and dying world around us. And Father, though your word has gone out for thousands of years, Lord, the reality is there is still more work to be done. And Father, you've called men and women in this room to be a part of that work. Whether it's through prayer, praying for those who are called to minister, or it's through partnership by laying their hand to the plow and partnering with those of us who are called in these communities. And Father, I do believe that there is men and families and women in this congregation, and you're calling certain men now to the gospel ministry. And so, Father, I'd ask that you would quicken their hearts to recognize that calling. And that, Father, we as your congregation would joyfully support all the work that you are doing. Not out of the works of our own righteousness, Lord, but as worship for what you have done on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel witness of these people in this community. In Jesus' name, amen.